Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. For decades, teenagers and families heard that the road to success runs through a university campus, and that advice was get on that road and stick with it until you get to the end with a college diploma. So what is wrong with that advice today? Karen Klein has some answers in her book, Rethinking College, A Guide to Thriving Without a Degree. And Karen Klein is an education reporter who spent much of her career writing at the LA Times. And Karen, welcome to The Source.
Hi, David. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So I imagine you did go to college and you did get a degree, right?
Yes, I did. Got a bachelor's degree, went on to graduate school, and I got a job before I got my graduate degree. So I went and took that job. And all three of my kids went to college, and all three of them are better educated than I am. They all have graduate degrees. One has a PhD. And
so,
yet I...
what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, this is not an anti-college book. I'm not against college. I think college is terrific for the people it's terrific for. All of my kids were very classroom oriented. They were very academic learners. I was a very academic learner. You can tell that because what I basically do is write 5-paragraph essays for a living. And that's what I've done since I left college. So for me, that was a very natural fit. I do think one of my kids would have benefited by taking several years off before going to college and learning more about the world and herself and what she wanted. But there's nothing wrong with college. It's just not what everybody wants. And our society makes people who don't want that, don't fit that mode, have a different way of learning, have different talents than show up in an academic classroom. We make them feel like they're second-class citizens, like they're not very bright. Only people who have a bachelor's can be very bright. And that's completely untrue. We make them believe that they can't be successes. And none of that is true. It's a different path. They are both different paths, and there are multiple paths. We need to find the one that's right for us and worry less about what people think. And quite frankly, those people need to change the way they think.
Our phone lines are open. We do want to hear from our listeners about their college experience or if they want to rethink sending their kids to college or want to explore what are the opportunities and possibilities of sidestepping that path to that goes through the university campus. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. So I have very little college. I really did not do well in the university setting, and so I just kind of went off and did my own thing and found my way by writing into journalism. And, you know, I did meet some resistance not having a college degree, but I beat that by just by hard work.
Well, congratulations. And knowing that, your ability to throw yourself into that work and find your place, that's what we really look for in people who are going to succeed in life, whether or not they go to college. I mean, really, college doesn't make as much difference as the ability to go find what it is you want to do, what makes you happy to get up in the morning, what you feel you do well, and what brings you a sense of meaning while supporting you, because we do all have that practical need to sustain our bodies through life.
Yeah. So the questions that you bring up in your book, Rethinking College, is whether or not we should set up so many barriers to people who have ability, who have proven themselves, but they don't have a college degree. And we have seen that this came up during the presidential campaign. Vice President Kamala Harris promised, if elected, she would remove the degree requirements for some federal jobs. And this is something also that Donald Trump had done during his first administration as well. So do you see that changing and improving?
Yes. As a matter of fact, while I was in the midst of writing the book, toward the end of actually writing the book, I started seeing immense changes occur. And there were employers that were dropping their bachelor's degree requirements, employers who were setting up white collar apprenticeship programs. So we've had that in the blue collar jobs for a long time, apprentice to be an electrician or a welder. But now in the white collar jobs that needed a bachelor's degree before, we're seeing a lot of attitudes change. As you mentioned, Donald Trump was actually the first one to get onto this. He saw that a lot of people were very tired of being told that they were nobody without a college degree. And in the last months of his administration, he signed a rule that federal jobs had to, that the people hiring for federal jobs had to prove that the job actually required a bachelor's degree, that, that you needed a bachelor's degree in order to do the job well. And he opened a lot, theoretically, he opened a lot of jobs. It's very often we'll see that jobs can be theoretically open to people without bachelor's degrees, but it takes a long time for the reality to follow because a lot of the hiring people have bachelor's degrees and have a certain bias toward that. Then Kamala Harris picked that up and said she was going to make 500,000 jobs not require a bachelor's degree. And you saw also that topic raised a couple of times. Barack Obama raised it during the Democratic National Convention, which was a sort of funny thing to hear because he was the president who was the big college for all president and that everybody needed to go to college and you'd be nobody if you didn't have a college degree in the 21st century. And then all of a sudden he was saying, yes, and we're talking about pathways to the middle class that don't require college. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm not sure where Kamala Harris came up with her number. I'm sure it sounded good to people. I don't know if there are 500,000 federal jobs that don't call for a bachelor's degree. She just sort of said that. Maybe there are more of them. Maybe there are fewer of them. I'm not sure where she got that number. I doubt it's based on any real research. And then after Trump made his rule, a bunch of states started following it as well. And we now have somewhere on order of 12 states, it's changing all the time. More states are being added to the roster all the time that are not requiring a bachelor's degree for a job unless the job actually needs a bachelor's degree. So this is opening up in major ways. One of the people in my book is a man who always wanted to be a pilot from the time he was a teeny kid, a preschooler. And college was just not for him. He tried going and it just didn't work. He loved planes so much that he went to work as a baggage handler just to be near planes. And some of his coworkers set him up with a pilot who mentored him and helped him get his pilot's license without a degree. He could only fly for the regional airlines because all the national airlines still required a bachelor's degree. And then a couple of years ago, Delta Airlines dropped its requirement, and he's now a pilot with Delta, and he's flying all over the world, and he absolutely loves it. So we're seeing this happen all the time. There is no reason why pilots need a bachelor's degree, by the way. That's a holdover from when most of our commercial pilots came from the military. In the military, to be a pilot, you had to be an officer. To be an officer, you had to have a bachelor's degree. That made no sense either. But that was where the airlines got it from. And it really makes no sense. In Europe, they've never required pilots to have a bachelor's degree. And they're just as safe and good pilots as ours are.
We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back and continue our discussion about Rethinking College, a guide to thriving without a degree. The author is with us, Karen Klein. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and the source comes back in 1 minute. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Do you really need a college degree? Well, that kind of depends on you and what your plans are for life, what you want to do, but you actually probably don't need them if you have certain plans and certain ideas about who you are and where you want to go. Karen Klein has written a book called Rethinking College, a guide to thriving without a degree. Karen, I remember I watched some speech that Noam Chomsky gave in the 1960s, and he was criticizing the college degree system and saying it was just a way to beat people down and see who could survive doing a lot of boring work and still manage to accomplish things and get through the system. And that apparently is what a lot of people are looking for in some jobs, finding people who can do reliably work that's sometimes boring, not exciting, and just get the task done.
Well, if that's the job people want, then go for it. That's not the way I wanted to live my life and not what I would suggest for anyone. I'm not sure that Chomsky was completely right about that definition of college, but certainly there is a certain amount of that that goes on. And I'm actually more concerned these days because we've placed such focus on getting a bachelor's degree that I see a lot of performative work in colleges. In other words, the students aren't as interested in learning literature and loving literature as they are in getting a study guide for the final and arguing with their professor about a grade. People are trying to get through with the easiest professors they can find, the best graders, the ones who require the least work. Some of them are very excited about their studies, but there's still more of this performative, I'm going to do whatever it takes, the least amount of work, in order to get a decent grade and get out of college so that I can have a bachelor's degree. If you haven't thought that through very well, that's not going to work entirely well for you. There are some statistics about college going that people should be aware of. 30% or more of people who attend a four-year college do not complete within 6 years, which usually means that they don't complete at all. They don't have any kind of degree at all. They have no more value in the marketplace than someone who just came out of high school, and yet they have wasted years and quite a bit of money. Sometimes they have college debt by then going to college. Of those who do complete a degree, 45% are employed 10 years later in a job that does not really require a college degree. They are underemployed, and that's even after 10 years out in the marketplace because, you know, anyone can come out and not find something right away and end up being a barista for a little while. But these are people who have been out there looking for jobs and can't get jobs that really need a college degree, that get to use the education that they've had and the sort of thinking they can supposedly do. And there's another thing that's worth knowing. Of students who attend college because they don't know what else to do after high school, they're not sure what college is about, but they know that's what most people do after high school, or they're being pressured by parents or peers or teachers to attend college. Of that group, 59% later say college was a waste. So when you're looking at, gee, how often do people who go to a four-year college really get this big dream of success? It's not all that often. I mean, it's certainly overall their average salaries are higher than those who did not get a bachelor's degree. That is true. But on the other hand, about 30% of people who have an associate's degree, a two-year degree from a community college, actually earn more than the average person with a bachelor's degree. So in other words, there's a lot of room for success without a bachelor's degree. There's a lot of room for not particularly succeeding with a bachelor's degree. So these are things people need to keep in mind. If you go to college, you need to have a plan. You need to know why you're going to college. What is it you're planning to do with it? And that doesn't mean you can't study philosophy instead of engineering, but it means you really ought to have an idea of why you're studying philosophy and what you can bring to the outside world that it will be interested in. I'm sure we've all read the stories about young people who come out of college with their degrees. They make up a resume, they send it out to 1,000 employers, and they don't get a single response because there's nothing on that resume that tells an employer what they are going to get out of this person. What skills do they have? So people who even go to college need to start thinking more in terms of skills. They need to go to college with intentionality. And one thing I like about going the non-college route is that a good part of the time, people who spend several years finding who they are, what they like, developing a solid core of themselves, accomplishing things, failing at things, a lot of them then are led to knowing what it is they really want and then realize they want to go to college. And they know what it is they want to go to college and what they want to get out of it. One of them is in the book, several of them are in the book, but one I particularly like went into the Coast Guard because he just had no idea what to do out of high school. He didn't feel he was particularly a college student. He got very involved in enforcing marine environmental laws while he was in the Coast Guard. And that got him very interested in marine science. He's now working on his thesis for his doctorate in marine science, and he's doing fascinating work. He's been studying how undersea noise doesn't just affect whales and dolphins. It actually causes schools of fish to change their direction and go to different places, which has tremendous implications for the environment. But he never would have found this if he'd tried to go straight to college. He had no idea he had interest in this. So there is a lot of worth in finding what it is you love out in the world. And if it takes a college degree to do it, all of a sudden you have a sense of purpose. All of a sudden you know why you're going. You're excited and you look great to colleges. Colleges love people who are authentic applicants, who have a real sense of why they're doing this.
Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255. And Randall, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Earlier, when you were talking about the need for college and everything else, I was reminded of a quote from one of my favorite movies, Bruce Almighty, when God tells Bruce, some of the happiest people in the world go home stinking to high heaven at the end of the day. You know, I mean, the world needs ditch diggers, too, and there's a place for them. But on college, I'm wondering if there's any way that we can cut a lot of this. I'm just going to call it deadwood away from the degree plans. I felt like when I first started college at UTSA back in 1985, I felt like I was doing high school 2.0. I had to take an American government class, freshman composition, algebra. I had to have a science, so I took astronomy. I mean, I felt like I was just doing stuff I had just finished, and I had to wait 3-4 semesters before I could start getting into the classes that were pertaining to, at the time I was chasing accounting or business management or something. But you know what I'm saying? Why do we have all this padding at the beginning of stuff that we just finished in high school?
All right, Randall, thank you for that question. So, Karen, do they do that?
Well, most schools, most universities and colleges have a general education requirement, certain kinds of roundedness requirements in the first year to 2 years of college. That's absolutely true. Randall, it sounds like your college did that very badly. You should not have been repeating work that you did in high school. They should have been excusing you from that. But they do want people who can write at college level. And it's absolutely extraordinary how many students come into college and don't know how to write at college level. There was recently an article about how many students can't even read through full books because they're so used to just doing excerpts in high school and they're not being well served by that. I think it's good for people to have some general knowledge to open their minds, getting your mind opened, learning to do critical thinking, learning to do good communication. I think those are worthwhile things, but the courses should be engaging. You should know why you're in them. You should come out of them feeling like, wow, I never thought of that before. That's just amazing. You shouldn't be sitting there going, been there, done that in high school. Thank you very much. I don't want to think of college as just a place where you get the training for what you're going to do in life. That's a part of it. That's an important part of it. But going to college should also be about coming out an educated person, about being able to think, about being able to analyze. Very few people in our society really know how to do that. And that's actually gotten worse with social media, where there's a lot of acceptance of whatever people see there without checking the facts. And at this point, facts are so much more available to us than they've ever been before. So I do want college students to get that. I think that's important for being good citizens, good thinkers, living an enriched life. But no, they should not have been boring the heck out of you for your first 2 years of college.
Yeah, that article about why college students can't read a full book is in the Atlantic magazine, and it's certainly worth a read. Let's go to another caller. We have Matthew, and Matthew, you're on the air.
All right. I've been through the gamut. I graduated high school, and then after high school, tried to go to community college and hated it, just like I hated high school and all the other school I ever did, but was lucky enough to get an IT job. And that IT job took me to the highest high that I could go with that career path before I needed a degree. And so I quit. And that was 12 years ago. So now what I see and just what I've seen with people around me and stuff is that it corners people into, A, a lot of suffering, but B, where their only hope is to go into a criminal activity, really.
Explain that criminal activity thing.
Well, when somebody's got nothing and they go out and try and find a job, and then the job says, okay, you have to have this, that, even maybe a GED, and they don't have it, then they don't have any hope. There's no hope to go into a legitimate profession at that point.
Okay. Well, thank you for that call, Matthew. Appreciate that. So, Karen, if you could respond to that, do you see, you know, people being basically blackballed out of the legitimate economy, so they have to go underground?
I'm not as familiar with that situation, but certainly it's at the point where we start requiring bachelor's degrees for people to move anywhere. That is a problem. I think actually society is moving away from that. For a very long time, employers, especially large corporations, expected the schools to do the training for them. They didn't want to spend money on training, which was a lot of where the everybody go to college thing came from. And now employers are realizing they develop better employees by doing the training themselves, and they're taking the responsibility for training. A lot of them are working with high schools and colleges to get people trained while they are still in school. That's an apprenticeship model that comes from Switzerland and a couple of other European countries, where going to a four-year university is not the most common thing, where a large number of people enter these white-collar apprenticeships. They still take their courses part-time. They have a paid apprenticeship. They're not running and fetching coffee. They are actually learning. They get out of high school and they have maybe one more year of training. And then they enter fields that in the United States would require a bachelor's degree. There's a man in Denver who is making that happen to some extent with the Denver schools, finding jobs for young people, getting them training. I interviewed some of the people. They're doing extremely well. There are a lot of companies that are starting apprenticeships, and they do it with community college. But when people see in their community college courses why they're doing it, they can see it relate to the job, their apprenticeship, college becomes much more interesting. All of a sudden, there's meaning to these courses where otherwise they might be looking at them saying, why am I taking this class? Just as Randall was talking about.
Well, give me an example. What kind of job specifically are we talking about?
There are all kinds of jobs, but these are what are, to a large extent, they're called the middle skills jobs. So they might be middle managers, customer service, human relations, HR. They might be being in charge of a large client base. They might be coding. So these are all things that I have talked with apprentices about that they did. One young woman was in high school, and she joined the Denver program, and she learned coding. Once she joined, she wasn't sure what she was going to do, but once she joined, coding was what interested her the most.
Right.
By the time she was 19 or so, she was making six figures. This was a young woman who...
Okay, well, I got to wrap this up here, so we got to go hit a break. We're going to continue. I want to talk more about how much you can learn on your own online, and whether that is an alternative to going to an expensive school also. But we're going to continue our conversation with Karen Klein. Her book is Rethinking College, A Guide to Thriving Without a Degree. The Source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Karen Klein is with us. She is a Los Angeles Times board member, writes editorials about education, environmental, food, and science. Also the author of the new book, Rethinking College, A Guide to Thriving Without a Degree. I got an email from Bunny. It says, every college and university needs to provide advisors, counselors who provide guidance throughout the college years. Every college and university needs to provide a placement service for graduating students. I personally am alarmed at the literacy level and the written skills of many college graduates today, especially students who have attended all classes online. But attending college is the best path to learning more about the world and becoming a lifelong learner. The real problem is for school districts to stop playing scheduling games with classes. There is no substitute for high school teachers seeing students every day. This is the real working world schedule of performance. Community College in Texas are doing an excellent job of offering certification for many vocations. Karen Klein, what role do universities and high schools with their advisors play in this situation?
That's a very interesting question, because there's a huge gap there, and things are just starting to come in to perhaps fill that gap. There was a Gallup poll just a few weeks ago that interviewed large numbers of high school students, and close to half of high school students are not planning to go to college for whatever reason. And they found that students in general are disaffected by high school. Doesn't matter whether they're taking it in person or not. Almost all high school students are there in person. But what they found was that students who do not plan to go to college are not receiving what they need in high schools. They are only hearing about college. When they say they're not interested in college, it doesn't matter. All anybody talks to them about is college. When they say, can you tell me about careers that don't require going to college? Only a fifth of them say that they get any help with that. And when they do get help, what they hear are two things. They hear you can join the skilled trades or you can join the military. Both are fine fields. Both are great ways to start. I have a chapter on each in the book, but that is extremely limited. There are so many things that people can do without a college degree. And the counselors don't know about them. No one's taught them about them. They have too many kids that they have to help with their colleges to worry about the kids who aren't going to college. So they're really being underserved there. In colleges, I'm first seeing more interest in giving kids career preparation. The California State University system, which is a huge university system, it educates most of the four-year college students in California, unlike the University of California, which is a sort of more research university thing and educates a lot fewer students. They just announced that they are going to be working a lot more on helping students see where their studies can take them in terms of a career. So I think we're starting to see some acknowledgement that people really want and need this stuff. And I think that was ignored for many years. I certainly think education is better in person, but I will tell you that even for students who go to regular old colleges in person, polls have found that there's very little reading going on after college, which was what I meant by performative. They read what they need to get through college, then they stop, they've got their degree, and they say, good, I don't have to read anything anymore. And the reading stops. To tell you the truth, I disagree that lifelong learning comes from going to college. I see the opposite. I interviewed about 100 people for my book who don't have college degrees. They were the lifelong learners. They were the people who constantly were interested in reading, in learning how to do new things, moving easily from one thing to another, curious about the world, curious about people. I really would disagree that college is the route to lifelong learning.
Let's go to a caller, Claiborne. Thanks for holding on, Claiborne. You're on the air.
I just wanted to agree with what she said about any number of people in undergraduate school doing the bare minimum, if that. In my undergraduate experience, a lot of the normies were 18-year-olds. They were expected to go to college. And this was a small private New England college. And they did the bare minimum. They might have read the chapters and could regurgitate them, but they could not abstractly apply them. Whereas I and a whole bunch of other LD kids, we had a plan. We were talking to our instructors constantly, and we were all about the work and learning kind of thing and following our passions. And most of what made me successful.
All right. That call faded, but thank you, Claiborne, for calling in. So the reason is it seemed like there have been a lot of benefits of creating a world where everyone has an expectation or at least the opportunity to go to college. Looking back before the 60s into the 50s and beyond, you know, college was reserved really for white people and mm-hmm. for middle class, upper middle class people. And by creating a new world where college was more accessible, the idea is that college and higher education could be a way to create a level playing field in the country. And could we lose that?
I certainly hope not. I don't think that in any way a move toward having more respect for people who choose not to go to college should mean that we cut off access to people who do want to go to college. There just are people for whom things are different. And our problem has been that we're distributing education in ways that don't make sense. We make sure that wealthy white people go to college most of the time because that's the way it works. They can afford it. Their parents push it. Their schools push it. And there might be students who are poor and don't have as much opportunity, and they find it impossible to go to college. And so I think the idea is that we need to distribute education in the way that it's best for our young people.
But if we have this new attitude, it becomes dominant that you don't need college to be successful. But there's always going to be certain jobs and certain roles in our society, the highest echelon, where you're going to have to go to college and get those degrees, lawyer, doctor, engineer, all sorts of things. You got to have it. And if the predominant view is like, well, you can still get a good job and not go to college and do these other things. I mean, that's true, but also it could be kind of like, would it make it harder for people who want to get those types of jobs, who come from the lower parts, you know, low income parts of our society, harder for them to achieve that?
It shouldn't make it harder to achieve it. In fact, by spending less of our higher education dollars on people who don't really want to go and don't really benefit from it, there might be more dollars for the people who do really benefit from it. And not all of those are people who are so-called high echelon. What about our teachers? What about our social workers? I think we still want those people to have a bachelor's degree. And so we will still need those people. And there are a lot of people who don't have a lot of money, but who are excited about those kinds of jobs and want them. And I don't think we need to cut down on college availability. We might be cutting down on the number of people who go to college, but that would be voluntary. But I don't think we need to cut down on college availability for that. It's more about helping people choose what it is they want in life and making sure there are pathways for them to do it.
But we are seeing a attitude in certain political circles who are really not in favor of higher education. They see their young people, their children, going off to college and university and coming back with progressive ideas that they don't feel comfortable with back home. And they're saying, you know, wondering if it's the college fault. Why did you fill my child's head with all these ideas about equality and civil rights and DEI and things? Critical race theory, supposedly. And so there is a movement that is really hostile to higher education. I mean, does this idea that rethinking college, does it support that idea?
Well, I certainly don't support that idea. I do think that there is an anti-college element in the United States right now. I think it's actually a dangerous element. It reminds me of, be perfectly honest, the early days with the Nazis, where there were attacks on the universities. We need to respect our big thinkers, our big researchers. By the way, you wouldn't have a fraction of the cures for various illnesses if those people were not there doing all this study and research. So, you know, I think it's fine to not want your kid to go to college unless your kid really wants to go to college. But I also think it's a bad thing to push your kid into college when they don't really want to go to college. Yeah, there are people who are anti-college. I don't think that's a good thing. There are people who are anti-not going to college, and I don't think that's a good thing.
Do you think the strongest argument for not going to college is the ridiculously high cost for college tuition?
It's one of them. Certainly, it's a big problem. We've come a long way in making college more available to students if they're willing to go the public college and public university route. To tell you the truth, I've decided to go back to college myself and study archaeology, which is a long-held love of mine, and
But
to
what happened
become
to
a
linguistics? I thought that was your thing.
I loved that in college, but I don't actually want to do it for a living. So that was what I studied in college. I loved it. And then in senior year, I realized that if I had to actually do it in real life, doing it in real life was a very different thing from studying it in college.
So now
And that
it's architecture.
that was not for me. Being out on a dig, that's more for me. I've actually
Oh.
done volunteered on digs, and I've always loved archaeology ever since I
Archaeology. But that's what a
grade.
wonderful thing to be able to do. That's just awesome. Okay, we got to take a break here. We got some callers. Michael, I'm going to get you on the air. Timothy and Todd, we're going to try and get you on the air as well. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. The book is Rethinking College, A Guide to Thriving Without a Degree. We'll continue our conversation with Karen Klein after this 1 minute break. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. The book is Rethinking College, A Guide to Thriving Without a Degree. We're speaking with Karen Klein, the author. Let's go to Michael on the phones. And Michael, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. This is really a beautiful program making some really wonderful points. I really think there needs to be something like a college equivalent diploma that people can take and then be able to go to graduate school and medical, dental school, and law school, because they need to be able to show what they can do in the schools. I know right now in many of our fields, like the medical field, many of the doctors who are here come from schools where they, in foreign countries, where they just do 5 and 6 year medical schools, and they were able to do what we're able to do in 8 years and 5 and 6 years. Thank you very much.
All right, Michael, thank you for that. So alternative certification and having that be a gold standard, Karen?
Which oh, so you're talking about things that where people are getting certifications, say through community colleges and so forth.
Well, I mean, if you've learned these things, maybe I go online and I, you know, master all these great things on my own. And, you know, and the equivalent of like I take the bar exam without ever walking into a law school and I ace it. Can I do that with other things?
You know, I think there are certain things where you do need at least training from someone else, and there are some things where you can learn it on your own. So I have in the book Tony, a video editor, who learned online how to do it and then went to work for someone who just really challenged him. So he learned more and more. And now he's doing YouTube videos on how to do video editing to help train other people. So that absolutely, a lot of people learn this on on their own. More what you see in this area is people finding mentors. The guy who started a business doing Philadelphia ices in LA, went and worked for a guy who does Philadelphia ices in Philadelphia.
And what is that?
Philadelphia ice is like an Italian ice, and I had to ask the same question when he told me about
So
it.
is it like a
It's like,
raspa?
I'm sorry?
Is it like a raspa? Like a snow cone?
Yes, yeah, so sort of like a snow cone.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a finer grain than a snow cone,
Okay.
and scoopable. So, and he developed a way of scooping it so it comes out with these beautiful rainbow colors in a pattern. And he studied with a man who does it in Philadelphia. He basically apprenticed to him for 3 months, and the guy showed him everything he knew. He had to work for free. But at the end of that, the man wanted to help him get started out in LA. He wasn't going to be a competitor to the man. And he helped him get the equipment for a fraction of the price he would have otherwise spent. So mentors can be very, very important. And when you see success among people, you really see people who start making the first steps themselves, but they find a mentor or they find a network to work with. That tends to be more the route to success than just hiding yourself into a study and watching as many YouTube videos as you can and releasing yourself upon the world.
Well, I mean,
I
the skill of being able to teach yourself new skills seems to be the best skill you could have, particularly since we live in a world where technology and moves at such a fast rate.
Absolutely. And never before has there been the ability to learn these things on your own. We had libraries and their books. That's not the same as videos. That's not the same as MOOCs, which are the massive online courses that are free, that are taught by university professors. I got some of my information for the book by watching MOOCs, watching business professors talk about what it takes to succeed in the entrepreneurial world. These are professors at MIT's School of Business, and you can take their course for free online. We never used to have that sort of thing. That we've never had so much access to information and facts. Unfortunately, we've also never had so much access to false information.
Well, so another caller, Timothy. And Timothy, you're on the air.
Hi, Gloria. So here's the thing. I have a degree in English, and I also have a graduate degree in creative writing. But then quickly after that, I realized that, you know, this mentality that we have in America of like college degree equals career track is, I think, very incorrect. When you look at European people, they go to college and it's not in this capitalist mindset of like, I'm going to be a producer, I'm going to earn. It's more about, I need to learn about the world. And I think people in America, there's so much squandered human potential because I got my degree. I chose to go in a different path. Now I'm a carpenter. I still write. I still make music. I do lots of different things. But I think that we limit ourselves so much with regards to what we think we're able to do and what we think we're limited by. You know, I have friends, and I just had a musician here in San Antonio who came from Brussels, and he speaks three languages and all this stuff. And, you know, and like here in the U.S., it's like we struggle to even speak one language. And I think we need to take college and education out of this capitalist mindset.
All right, Timothy, thank you for the call. But I also am aware that it is really tough in Europe to really get that first job. But Karen?
Well, I think the main thing that I heard Timothy saying was about the importance of not just going to get that first job, but going to open your mind and become a more intellectually and academically and emotionally and thinking-wise rich person, okay? So rich in the way that matters to me, because rich in the way of money is not so much a big thing for me. And I could not agree more with that. I think that that's what I talk about when I talk about going to college in a performative way. There is so much richness to be gained, and that's why I do think people have to take some courses that don't necessarily lead them right to their career, especially these days when careers are going to change throughout your life. Being open, finding richness in life, doing all kinds of different things, living creatively, these are things that lead to a thriving life, which is why my title of the book is A Guide to Thriving, not just succeeding. It's a guide to thriving, feeling that you have a rich and meaningful life. And that comes from studying with an open mind and having your mind opened further. And then, you know, you were talking about, do colleges just teach students to believe a certain set of values? Certainly they are exposed to those at college. What you really want from college is for them to learn to question those, for them to learn to debate those. And that's what leads to thinking. It's not the problem to be exposed. What's a problem is that nobody should just unquestioningly take what anybody says. By the way, before you mentioned lawyers, I wanted to mention that in California and a few other states, you can become a lawyer without going to college. It's done by reading with another lawyer.
Let's go to Todd on the phones. And Todd, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes. So, I mean, I think I'm echoing what your guests have said, but there is so much about college that should expand the mind of the human experience. You can be a welder. You know, you can go out and get whatever your certs are, become a welder, but you can still like opera. You could be a stagehand like myself and still like fine literature. But there's so many people pushing against that now. How do we push forward to expand the human experience, to learn our history, learn our art, and bring that back into our lives?
Todd, that's a billion-dollar question. Karen Klein, I'd love to hear your answer.
Oh, I'm sure I can take care of that within 10 words. I think that's a brilliant question. It's actually one that's been on my mind lately, because I feel that we have a lot of disaffected students in high school. They don't know why they're studying what they're studying. Their minds are not being opened for the most part. And I've been wondering whether what we really need to do, I actually wrote about this recently, is rethink our high school curriculum so that we are truly doing more to open minds and less about getting through a certain set of courses and taking this and such tests and so on and so forth, but rather opening things to projects, opening things to thinking, opening things to understanding culture. I was amazed that for my kids, taking music in middle school meant singing in the choir. When I was in middle school, we learned music by learning music appreciation, the great composers. We learned how to tell what key something was written in. We learned how to read a score. We learned how to write a score. That knowledge is gone. People don't learn that anymore, and that's so sad. So I totally agree. I think we need to bring college, we need to bring high school back to exciting things that enable students to explore. And they won't keep all of it for life, but they'll keep the parts that they really like. And they'll also see a reason to get up in the morning and go to school besides being bored all day and getting whatever courses and extracurriculars they need to try to go to Harvard.
So, looking at the big picture, what is the best thing for our society? Having so many people go into college and university, taking a class in literature that otherwise they never would have been exposed to, something like that, or philosophy, linguistics, these other things. There's a lot of benefit to that.
Yeah, there is a lot of benefit to that. And for people who choose that mode of learning, it's a great thing. For people for whom sitting in a class for an hour to 3 hours, 2 to 3 times a week, listening to a lecture is absolute torture, that is not the thing. They will find things on their own. I have gotten interested in a lot of things that I never learned in college at all. I'm a certified naturalist. I lead hikes in the local wilderness parks, and I am very knowledgeable about all the native plants and what their uses were by Native Americans and by early pioneers and what they can be used by today. I didn't learn any of that in high school or college. That was something I became interested in. Learning is always available to us. What we need to learn is the ability to keep our eyes open for the things that engage us that we want to learn more about.
And rethink college. I mean, rethink, is this the right path for us? All the debts, all some of the other hassles. There are other ways of doing it. Your book is a how-to in many ways, some quizzes to take to find out what might be right for you, and some advice on career advice on how to get by without it, how to do well, how to thrive without a college degree. And that's the name of the book, Rethinking College: A Guide to Thriving Without a Degree. And Karen Klein, thanks so much for talking to us today.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you and your listeners.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.